Ladies and gentlemen, for our second sermon today will be by Mr. Jim Hudson.
Hello again, everyone. It's been a very nice feast, hasn't it? With the mountains and the rivers and the rocks to crawl on and all the good things and, of course, the good food. I'd like everyone to think back. Think back to when you were young, maybe 5, 6 years old, maybe 12, maybe 15. But think back, your neighborhood, your house, your schoolmates. Think about how everything was, the town you lived in. Think about the buildings, the streets. If you were to go back there now, what would you find? If you were to go back there after 20, 30, 40 years, what would you find? Are all the houses still there? Are all the streets the same? What does the city or town look like? Where are the people that you knew? I guarantee you there would be a lot of changes. A lot of changes. I know that the neighborhood that I grew up in was not far from the airport. I used to sit in my front yard and watch the airplanes come and go. And back then, they were little, we call them wind-up jobs. They were little DC-3s for the most part. A few DC-6s, which were bigger and louder. But they flew almost over my house. And I remember that fondly. I remember the sound of those engines. And I remember a few years ago, there was an air cargo service that had one of those planes. And when I heard it, I didn't even have to see it. I would say, that's a DC-3. We don't see those anymore. We see jets. We see turboprops. Things have changed. What about laws? What about taxes? Every year there are changes to the laws and the taxes. Every year you have to familiarize yourself on your tax form when you fill it out because something has changed and it may affect you. Every year there's a law that you can't do something else you used to do. And sometimes, once in a long while, there'll be removal of a law. That's pretty rare. What about the weather? Is it always the same? Do we have sometimes catastrophic events like Hurricane Sandy went in and virtually destroyed the coastline there in New Jersey? What about Katrina? Nearly destroyed New Orleans. Even the Superdome, the covering was blown off. We have tremendous and terrible weather events that happen. Changes. What about the land? Let's look at the mountains out there. What did they look like 20 million years ago? Were they like the Rockies? What do they look like now? They've been worn down. They're still high, but they've been worn down. Over time, even the mountains change. Even the land changes. What about the Grand Canyon? Was it there millions of years ago? Or did the land change? Of course it changed. And it eroded and became the Grand Canyon. Some people say there's climate change. There seems to be some evidence of that. The entire climate of the earth does change on a long-term scale. There was an ice age approximately 10, 15,000 years ago. There was ice that came down over half this nation, where this nation was. Even the climate, long-term changes, and even short-term, I think it was the 1700s, there was a period that was called the year without a summer. There was no warm summer. The crops failed. And what about our bodies? As we grow older, you look in the mirror and you say, who is that? That's not me, but it is. We change. Our bodies change. And our minds change. Everything that is physical is in a constant state of change. In fact, the title of this message is, the only thing constant is change. It seems like the only thing constant is change. While we find change to be annoying for the most part, change is essential for our well-being as a Christian. Think about that. We are required to change. God expects us to change. But our changes must be for the better, not the worse. So yes, our bodies age, We get more feeble. Our mind doesn't work quite as well. But God expects improvement. He expects us to be better in the ways that count. Today I want to go over some of the changes we are expected to make as God's elect. We must make these changes in order for us to inherit eternal life. We have to make changes. The way we think, the way we act, the way we interact with others. We have to make changes. The first change is that we must be careful not to put anything before God. Now think about it. We can all say, you know, I put God first. I understand the first commandment. I understand God has to be first. But sometimes, some days even, we don't think a whole lot about God. We think more about how am I going to get this done? What am I going to do? Our routine, our needs, our daily activities sometimes take first place. It just happens without us thinking about it. What about our concerns? What about our health? What about our fund, our financing? You know, our income and our expenditures. Those take a primary position in our thoughts instead of putting God first. Do we think to pray when something comes along that seems overwhelming, whether it's health or financial or whatever? Do we think to pray first? Or do we think, I need to handle this? I'm guilty of that. I've done that plenty of times. But we have to think, okay, God, you're in charge. And we need to put God first. We need to work on that all the time. Let's look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Our thoughts, it's supposed to be in our thoughts even. And with all your strength. This is the first commandment. This is what God expects of us. We're to put him first. We're to honor him. We're to think about him. And we're to think about the things that he expects of us. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So again, we have to think about God as primary. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Christ is different. If so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. What are we supposed to do? That you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So our old man is corrupt and we're supposed to put this off. Not thinking the old ways, the old thoughts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you might put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that's what we're seeking, righteousness and holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. We are of one body. We are members of one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let Satan get in there. Don't let him get a foothold. Our thoughts are susceptible to his influence. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and we don't want to do that. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And we've heard this before, but we have to work on it all the time because the old man is back there and he's wanting us to act like him again. The desires, the feelings, especially the strong emotions bring it out. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Think about that. God has forgiven us. No matter how bad we were, and in his eyes we were all bad, he's forgiven us. And we need to do the same. We need to have that mindset. We need to be forgiving. We need to be like God. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And we had a story we heard this feast about one of us that at one time had bought a brand new truck, and oh, it was a nice truck. And they were at a church area, and someone came along and stole that truck and wrecked it. And that was a horrible thing. But that person didn't let that get to them. They went ahead and just got another vehicle and went forward. Because it wasn't the vehicle that was important. It was the transportation that was important. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So our treasure needs to be spiritual in nature. We need to have God as first in our lives. Another thing that we must be changing, we must be putting sin out of our lives. Sin out of our lives. And we all have it. It's all there. Sometimes it just erupts unexpectedly. Sometimes it's a problem we're working on and working on and working on. Let's turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. God expects us to walk in newness of life. He expects us to put on the very mind of God, the actions that Christ exhibited, the way that he lived, the steps that he took. In fact, it's called in many places the way. The way. It is a way. It is like a path. We follow Christ on the path that he set for us. Let's look at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. We need to be yielded to God. We need to let God take over. We need to look at what he has given us in this book and say, this is the way I should live. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We've been given a great opportunity, and we need to take advantage of it. We need to get that sin purged out, whatever it is. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll start there in verse 1. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Somewhere else it says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's evil will take care of itself. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also you appear with him in glory. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetous is idolatry. So we can't do that. We can't want something that doesn't belong to us. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. What does he expect? Let's look at verse 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're to put on the new man. Let's go to verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. We should be merciful. Kindness. We should be kind to others. Humbleness of mind. We should not think ourselves greater than anyone else. Meekness. We should be humble and teachable, just like the little child we heard about. Long suffering. We have to be willing to put up with irritations and aggravations from others. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That is the key, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And of course, verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also are called in one body, and be you thankful. The peace of God. That's what we will receive if we live this way. A third thing, a third change that we must make. We must be putting on the mind of God. You know, the other things are sort of physical in a sense, putting off sin. Well, that's in your mind, but it's the actions are physical or they are spoken. But now we're going to a higher level, the mind of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not the evil spirit that's out there, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, not the wisdom of the world, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We can see the spiritual now, and we have to act on it. We have to put that in our beings. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, which should be us, that's what we're seeking, to be spiritual. We discern all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That is our goal. We need to develop the mind of Christ. He's given us his spirit. He's given us the instruction. It's up to us to build upon these things. Let's turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. We'll start in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded. We have to be like-minded. Like-minded with Christ. Having the same love. We have to have love. Being of one accord. We need to agree on at least these things. that we have love and forgiveness for one another. Of one mind, we need the same mind, the mind of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. We need to consider that because there is in each of us the desire, the want to be a little better. And we have to keep that pushed down. Christ himself, verse 7, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Shouldn't we be the same? Shouldn't we be servants to one another? The servants to our brethren, wherever they are, and the servants to our neighbors, even if they're not our brethren. And was made in the likeness of men. He came, he put off his glory to die for us. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Even then, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. What does he say? He says in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. We don't have it made. No matter where we are, no matter who we fellowship with, we don't have it made. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, upon whom you shine as lights in the world. Lights in the world. That's what we're supposed to be. The fourth thing, the fourth change that God expects from us, we must realize that while our brethren are scattered, we are all part of the same body. We've heard that. We heard that in the first message. We're all part of the same body. And we're imbued with the same spirit. We're all God's people. No matter where we are, we're all God's people. And God expects all of us to be the same, to love one another. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 again. Colossians 3, verse 11. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. If we have his spirit, he is in us. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. There it is again, mercies. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So we have read that. This is what God expects. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And starting verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind. We should be the same mind, the same desires, having compassion one of another. Compassion. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. This is how we should be. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called and you should inherit, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. We've heard about peace during this feast. We should seek it. Let's turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, starting verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have to think soberly. We have to think this through. How we think of others, how we treat others. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We've already heard that once. Here it is again. Why is it again here? Why am I saying this again? Is it important? Mr. Cassie and I did not know what we were talking about today. But we're saying the same words. Why? It's important. Turn to John, chapter 17. John 17. We'll start in verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them unto the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word. Now that's us. And what is he saying that we should do? How should we be? That they all may be one body, one mind, one spirit. As you, Father, are in me, just like the Father was in Christ, we should be one. And I in you, Christ in us, that they also may be one, what? In us. The Father and Christ, one in us. That the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That is the Father's goal. That is Christ's goal. That we may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's pretty important. That's the goal for all of us to be one. And it will be accomplished. Whether we participate or not, God will accomplish it. I think it'd be better if we all participate. Think about it. Our brethren are part of the body, wherever and whoever they are. Turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That word think is actually meditate. Meditate. Put these things into practice. Put them in our minds. Brethren, change in this world is guaranteed. All physical things will change over time. Our ancestors would not recognize the world as we know it today. However, the changes we must make are more spiritual in nature. We must grow in grace and knowledge to become more like Christ. We must put God first in our lives, put out sin, put on the mind of God, and practice the love of God with our brethren, as well as with others. If we do these things, we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord."